Back in on Canuck Central, it's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah here in the Kintech studio. Kintech, Canada's favorite orthotics provider, powered by thousands of five-star Google reviews. Sore feet, what are you waiting for? How would you like a chance to win a Quinn Hughes autographed jersey? Maybe a couple of lower bowl seats to see the Canucks and the Utah Hockey Club? A couple of highly coveted Hockey Night in Canada towels? Well, all you got to do is join in on our raffle supporting the Canucks Autism Network Pro-Am. You can find the link at Sportsnet650, also at Dan Riccio _. It's pinned to my profile on Twitter, and there is some great prizes on offer. Exactly what I just mentioned. Even an autographed Thatcher Demko, autographed Elias Pettersson jersey available, and two tickets to our table at the Canucks Autism Network Pro-Am Luncheon, which is November the 1st. With a chance to meet Ryan Kesler and dozens of other former Canucks and NHL players. Tickets as low as $10 to join in on the raffle. You could check it out at Dan Riccio _. Sat and I, big supporters of the Canucks Autism Network in different ways. I know you did an event over the summer with the Canucks Autism Network, Sat. We've long been the MCs of the draft night for the Can Pro-Am weekend, and we're going to do so again next Friday as well. It's really an incredible cause, and so much great work going around the province with the Can Pro-Am.
It really is. It's something that we take a lot of pleasure in doing, no matter what the situation is, and I can't wait for the draft coming up next Friday. We're going to have a lot of fun, and thank you to everybody involved and people that are, you know, spending their time there, spending their money there, and helping make a difference.
We raised over $1 million in total last year with the Can Pro-Am, not just Sportsnet, but the other teams involved as well. So we're hoping to do even better this year, and we can with your help. So join the raffle at Dan Riccio _. You can find the link there to support the Can Pro-Am, and of course, you can get in on some of those prizes as well, potentially. All right, so we've got lots still to get to. A lot happened at practice today. There was no scuffles, right, Josh? Josh was at practice.
There were a bunch of fights again.
There was a lot of bad pictures.
Yeah, well, who's to
so
say?
So wait, there was a bunch of fights, or there was...
No, I was just kidding.
You're reporting falsehoods.
Yeah.
So bad start.
Maybe
your practice reporting.
Fake
here,
information
Josh.
From Josh.
I thought it was clear
sarcasm.
What is
sarcasm? This fake news, Josh?
I made a mistake.
You could be a politician. You can run for office with that attitude.
It's too stressful for me. No fights.
Yeah.
No fights.
Though. No fights. Pictures were still on point. That was very, very... Like, were you just trying to take a picture of the netting at the rink? Like,
to be honest, it was very hard to focus to get the camera to, like, the netting is right in front of you. It's hard to unfocus from it.
Yeah.
I did get one good picture of Lankanen.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, a couple of the photos looked pretty good in an artistic sort of way.
Yeah, that's what I was going for. Yeah.
Players out of focus, net in focus. Yeah. Great. That's a great photo. So Josh's photo prowess continues to shine through. So we'll get to some stuff from the practice today.
Create like a social media account with that. You know how you see like, you know, Canucks out of context or something? See the out of
or
context?
Like art, but make it sports?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We do like, you know, Canucks out of focus.
Canucks out of focus.
I was kind of hoping you'd be like, JT Miller says there was nothing to see with his little scuffle with Elias Pettersson the other day at practice, and just have like a picture of Randeep or one of the other reporters.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
I'll use that
maybe,
in the future.
Maybe next time. All right. It's the Open on Canuck Central.
Welcome to the Open.
Four! That's your home. Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
Yeah, it is the Open on Canucks Central, where we bring you the latest on the Vancouver Canucks and our take on it. And the latest on the Canucks is a theory. A theory from Elliot Friedman. Now, look, I get it. Elliot is the insider in the game, but like he did say theory rather than this was a full-on report of what he's hearing around Elias Pettersson and the Vancouver Canucks.
But you know what people say. If somebody is providing a theory like that in Elliot's position, with the knowledge Elliot has, is there a reason to put out such a theory?
Educated theory.
Right.
Right.
Yes. But you're right. It's there's a distinction between a theory and I'm feeling so good about this, I'm full on reporting it. Right.
He mentioned it as a theory, yes. Not as
a fact necessarily.
Fact or report,
yes.
That he is getting from sources.
Yes. Just to make it clear, because I know people listen for the first time and they're like, yeah. Hey, what's going on? Because us saying Ellie reported is inaccurate because he did not report.
Yes.
This is not a report, so to speak.
He mentioned a theory, and yes. The theory being that the Canucks and management of the Canucks is essentially they, you know, played nice before Elias Pettersson was under contract. And now that he is under contract, they are working to get him to another level or reach a higher level as a player. And thus, potentially trying to find a way to get Miller, Hughes, the leadership group around Elias Pettersson to bring that out of him. Now, I'm paraphrasing Elliot's full terms on this in his theory, but you can check it out on the 32 Thoughts podcast. It's like a 12-minute segment.
And yeah, so. I would suggest you listen to like the whole thing for the entire context.
You need the whole context.
Yes, yeah, so then you can make your own, have your own opinion on it. I think
as much as I'd like to take a 12-minute break, I know most of you have already heard it already.
Yes, yes. So we're not going to play the whole thing, but
yes.
For most that have heard it or whatever, right? You can look at that and say it's a bait and switch if you want to be cynical.
Right.
It's like you entice somebody to stay and now you're like, all right, I can be comfortable and show you exactly who I am, right?
Before Pettersson was signed, Jim Rutherford was on this show and he's like, whenever Pettersson's ready to talk, we're ready to talk.
Yeah.
If you want short term, long term, like we're ready, we're good. We're open to anything. And so maybe now there's a different tune as part of Elliot's theory is essentially what he mentioned.
Yeah. So, okay. You can view that. However, I'm not quite like you heard Yannick's take on it that he's never heard a situation of management going out and doing this. And he doesn't think that's a very productive or wise thing to do. And he went through the dynamics of the locker room, the personal relationships and, they live in glass houses, a lot of them, because they do make mistakes too and don't have cold stretches. So you have to be careful with how you approach your fellow teammates. I'm not there on that really being the case.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as, what I can surmise asking around, like I haven't heard that. Now, that doesn't mean Elliot hasn't. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean Elliot doesn't have information. It just means like I haven't heard the same thing. But again, like I don't know. So I'm not there. And unless Elliot reports and says it happened, then I'm like, okay, well, he reported 100% happened, so it happened, right? So I'm not sure where I am on it, but do I think there has been an element of challenging him behind the scenes?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's accurate. Whether that's teammates from time to time, which in a natural way, like Yannick mentioned, sometimes things happen and people hold each other accountable. Like I'm sure that's happened. I've heard of those things happening in that locker room, and I wouldn't be surprised at all if it's happened with Pettersson, with the leaders of that team from time to time. And the other part of it to me is, I think management may have spoken to him at some point. Like, I don't think management is against challenging him.
Yeah.
I'm not sure they have through this mean, but I think if this continues, maybe they would at some point. Like, I don't think management's just sitting there saying, oh, everything is fine.
Yeah.
There's nothing to look at here. Like, I think like they want him to be better. And I think there's an expectation he will and should get better. I don't know if they've acted on it in any serious way, but could they act on it at some point? I think so. And I don't mean by trading him. I mean, like Leanic mentioned, management and coaches, you're the guys that have to sit a guy down and truly challenge him if you want him to be better sometimes.
It's now we're like 40 game mark. Like if you include the stretch after he signed the contract and the playoffs and now these six games that have started the year, we're at 39 games, I think, officially of Pettersson after the contract, including the playoffs from last year. So like it's almost a half a season sample. And not everything that we saw towards the end of last year is similar to what we're seeing right now. I think Pettersson's shot rates need to come up. Things that we've talked about, like from a strictly on-ice standpoint, there's some good. There's some areas that, you're still wanting to see round into form from Pettersson. But there's a real element of like, okay, what is going on here? Because star players, at 25 years old, guys that have put up 100 points in a season, they don't grow on trees, and they certainly don't just fall, like their production doesn't fall off a cliff like this for stretches of half a season unless there's like serious like shooting regression, some kind of crazy statistical sort of anomaly that forces that on. But there's real things in Pettersson's game that just have not quite been good enough. Now, like that's where the issue stands here.
I think one thing Elliot, you know, 100% nailed of, I mean, and I'm not saying that's only one thing he nailed in a thing, but the one thing he nailed at the end of it was you don't see the spark in Pettersson's game right now.
Yeah.
How much of that is there some injury limitation from the knee tendonitis he mentioned? He talked about the offseason, how it affected his training. I don't want to make excuses for him, so that's why I haven't brought this up, because they haven't, like, nobody's talking about this behind the scenes. Even when you talk to people that know Pettersson, nobody's talking about the injury being an issue. So that's why I don't bring it up, because there's zero push from anybody in the organization or from Pettersson's camp, from what I can surmise, that they want it out there that he's dealing with something. So to be fair, like, I don't know if I want to give that excuse, but that spark isn't there. How do you rediscover that?
Yeah.
And I think when he rediscovers it, you know the type of player he can be. Is it as simple as maybe scoring a couple goals and then all of a sudden it kind of comes back? That's kind of the hope at this stage, right? And considering how few goals he has scored the past 30 games, maybe all it is going to take is having like a two-goal night or something.
It's not very many goals. It's pretty... there's... When it comes to Pettersson's game, like, yeah, it does seem to like lack a little bit of joy right now in his game. Whereas like when he scored that first goal against the Calgary Flames and he rips that wrist shot past Mike Smith, you're like, hey, you see the celebration. We've seen it times before. There's an excitement about it.
Yeah.
Even when he scored that playoff goal, he kind of fanned on the shot and he just kind of like shrugged his shoulders.
He went in. Like, he was like unimpressed with how it went.
Yeah, he's like unimpressed with himself. It's like, man, that could have just been the monkey off your back. But he was like, I still didn't execute it. I'm still like mad at myself.
It's kind of like the perfectionist's curse, right? Where it's like, I succeeded, but it wasn't good enough.
He hit a bad golf shot, but it like went in the hole.
Yeah, and it's like it went in, but you know, it's not something I can replicate.
Yes.
You know, it wasn't a good shot. You know, and I think sometimes players like that get in their own heads. But I do think he needs to get that back. And I also do think like the Canucks have won 3 games in a row here.
Yeah.
And I don't think there is any real drama behind the scenes. Like again, I don't get that sense that there is this big drama going on behind the scenes. And I'm not saying anybody's suggesting that is happening or anything, right? But I do think the nature of how this is being discussed is a bit more dramatic than actually what is going on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I don't think that's something that you should be surprised by when it comes to Pettersson, who has underachieved, and him being as polarizing a topic as he is right now.
The other part of Elliot's theory is that Pettersson, they'd like to see Pettersson be tougher.
What tougher in what sense?
I think you could take the word tough in a lot of different ways. You know, Pettersson, kind of like, you know, the Sedins weren't seen as tough players, but, you know, is it not tough to, like, take the other team's top defensive competition all the time, get hacked and slashed and, you know, beat up in front of the net all the time and, like, fight through that and still be able to have success on the ice? Like, there's, like, to me, that's still an element of toughness, but... Is there an element where things have to be in a really good place? Things have to come easy for Pettersson in order for him to have success. Do they have to align? Like, can he fight through less than ideal situations and still have success?
Okay, I don't want this to come off as insensitive at all, right? Because I think when we talk about mental things and we're trying to project or assume what people want out of somebody, I think we have to be very careful with those things. And I know it can be triggering for people when we talk about these things. But to me, the biggest thing when I think of toughness with him is in terms of mentally fighting through the adversity.
Right.
You know, and whether that's sometimes I'm banged up, or I'm not feeling 100%, or my line mates aren't going, or whatever it is, how do I compartmentalize those feelings and focus on what I can do on the ice and make a difference? And have the focus and determination day in and day out that you're not going to let, you know, outside things get in the way of your preparation and your execution on the ice. And that's a very hard thing to do, because like, when it comes to mentally, again, like we're talking about humans and their brains and their emotions. So we can't pretend to know what's going through somebody's mind. So it's easy to say, hey, you got to fight through that and be better through it. But sometimes you need guidance through those things, whether it is talking to somebody or getting assistance through it. So I don't want to make light of it and say, oh, you just got to be mentally tougher, because I think that's an easy thing to say. And I'm not sure is very productive in that sense. But I think that's the element that I see, is how can this player find a way to overcome certain obstacles? Because we know how talented he is.
Yeah.
And as far as him being tough on the ice, I think people conflate him falling over a lot with him being soft. He's regularly amongst the team leaders in blocked shots for forwards. He's regularly ahead of most forwards on this team in blocking shots. That's toughness, getting in front of shots. He throws hits. He's in triple figures when it comes to hits every season, it seems.
Yeah.
He's amongst the leaders on the team. Yes, he needs to be stronger sometimes, sure. But he's not a player who shies away. We're going to play a clip from JT coming up in a bit.
Yeah.
JT is praising his work in front of a netminder, screening goalies. That's not soft.
No.
He's not a soft hockey player. So I think being tougher, I don't view it as he needs to be tougher on the ice. Can he get stronger on his skates? Sure. But I think it's more about how do you overcome the noise.
The Besser goal the other night, a good example of Pettersson screening the goalie and helping that goal happen, even though he doesn't factor in on one of the assists. For the toughness part of this, like, we get to the end of the year, right? And you're not feeling your best. Your knee is banged up. You're obviously affected by it to some level. But guess what? Over the course of an 82-game season, everybody's going to have some kind of an injury that they are going to have to fight through. And when you are a star player, guess what? Doesn't matter if you have an injury or not. People are going to expect you, if you're on the ice, people are going to expect you to have a certain level of success. You can say that's unfair. Well, tough. You're making $11.6 million. Those are going to be the expectations behind you, and that's going to be escalated as this year goes on. And you know, that's where last year comes in, and you know, Pettersson goes into the playoffs less than 100%. We've never seen him in a playoff where, you know, you go into the bubble playoff. They were off, what, for months before that happened? You come in fresh. It's like the start of training camp, and you just go. And they're not as physical as they are normally. When you are the star player, you're going to be tight-checked. You're going to get all kinds of sticks in the back, kinds of slashes. You are going to be in an environment that you've never really experienced before. So part of this process, how much of it is coming from the outside? How much of it is Pettersson and his teammates trying to understand, like, we've got to be ready for April and May and be better, more ready than we were a year ago? That, I think, ultimately is a process you want Pettersson to go through, because he didn't have it last year and he has to find another level in order to have it when it comes around this year. And that's where I think this is headed with Elias Pettersson and the Vancouver Canucks. All right, let's get to the Canucks Central Roundup. A lot of good things that came out of practice, and we're going to roll through this really quick here. He really likes what he sees from Erik Brännström.
Yeah.
Before we get into it, let's hear what the coach had to say about Erik Brännström and his time with the Canucks.
I think every game he's improved. His confidence level with the puck. You know, the one thing I like, there's about two or three times in the last game where he skated out of trouble. You know, he just didn't throw it off the glass. There was a couple windows for him to skate it out. He did. That's big. You know how Hughes can do it a lot. I think he has a little bit of that in him where he can skate himself out of trouble.
Is there any extra he's going to have to do for, say, when Fittler comes back, himself in the lineup?
For Brännström?
Yeah.
Well, Footy showed a clip today where he had a bigger guy going to the net and he boxed the guy out. I mean, if he can do that, I mean, you know, he's going to stay in the lineup. I think just because he's a smaller guy, he could still get in front of people, but I just think he's improved every game.
Could he be a right side option? I know you like lefty righties, but if you want to keep him in the lineup, could he be a right side guy?
Well, it's funny you asked that, because we checked analytics. He did play the right side for some games and did okay, you know, analytically. So that's something that we could experiment with him playing the other side. Yes.
That is Rick Tocchet on Erik Brännström. Has now played three games, been better every game. Points out a play where Brännström is boxing out guys in front of the net. He's liking what he's seeing.
Yeah, and honestly, the boxing out part is something you noticed last game. And the thing that you also noticed last game, you saw him on the second shift of the game, and that chance Pettersson and Höglander had, or actually the goal that they, no, it was before they scored, it was a chance they had. It all happened because Brännström in the defensive zone, lifted Bertuzzi's stick, took the puck, and skated a straight out of the zone and made a pit pass, got zone entry, and the Canucks had a good shift in the offensive zone. That's like Quinn Hughes stuff to some extent. And I'm not saying he's Quinn. That's why the coach said it's kind of the things that Quinn can do. So if you're boxing guys out, you're winning puck battles, you're transporting the puck out of your own zone, you got to give that guy more rope at this stage. Like, he's doing the things you want him to do.
Yeah, and we'll see how that continues. He's still playing, you know, not a huge complement of minutes, but he's gaining trust with the coaching staff. You can hear it when Rick Tocchet mentions him and also mentions he can play the right side. So we'll see how that develops when Derek Forbert eventually returns. He was still away from practice today on a personal leave. Now, the Canucks power play scored a couple of goals against Chicago, and JT Miller was asked about it today. And here's what he said about how it's working with him on the right half wall rather than his regular spot on the left half wall.
Yeah, it's different. It's the same, just the hands. We scored a lot of goals last year with me and Brock, and leading the top, and Quinn shooting, and Petey did, you know, great job at the net last year. Obviously, last game, two goals we scored with good net front presence. So we're not going to be in set positions. Like, we're trying to be a little more mobile and everybody kind of fill in. And Gar does a really good job of being really active and causing distraction for the diamond PKs. And it was good last game again. So I think we just have a little more confidence maybe with that look right now. So we're just trying to take a couple extra shots from the day off yesterday.
So there is JT Miller on the power play. Really goes into it about the different elements of the power play, how it's going to work, and what he liked seeing on the Canucks power play.
Yeah, and it was really interesting him mentioning Garland, and another piece of ammo for Garland fans about how indispensable he is for this team and making the difference in diamond formation. Because if he can cause confusion in the diamond, what does that do? Well, that prevents some rotations from happening.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, there's somebody open, whether that's Brock, whether that's JT, whether that's Pettersson. That's what a player that causes confusion can help do when a formation like that is so good at closing out all the threats from the forwards.
Both Branstrom and Baines were called up from Abbotsford today, and they were at practice. They are expected to be in the lineup tomorrow. Sprong and Juulsen were the extras. Dakota Joshua continues to practice in a non-contact jersey. Up to him when he will shed that non-contact jersey, according to Rick Tocchet. And of course, it is the Canucks and Penguins tomorrow, as the Penguins will play in Edmonton tonight. And they've lost three in a row. They'll be on the second half of a back-to-back. Things are shaping up for the Canucks to be a heavy favorite against Sidney Crosby and the Penguins tomorrow night. Pregame will be at 6 on Saturday, of course, with us on Sportsnet 650. Coming up, a quail bag. Am I allowed to do that? Oh, man. Sad is not into that. No quail bag?
I think quail bag is pushing it.
Thank you. Sanity from somebody else in this room.
All right. A mailbag is next on Sportsnet 650.
Hitting the most important topics for Vancouver sports fans. The People's Show with Vic Nizar. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.